tell the folks that brought the horses how much I appreciate that. That made the night, and those that helped out brought food and desserts and helped us out with that, and the kids that come and help me with the tables and chairs. But I said all that to say this, that I'm going to need some more help. And about 4 o'clock this afternoon, if you're where you can, if you'll meet at our house, we're going to load all those tables and chairs back up and bring them back to the church. So if you can come and help, we really would appreciate that. It's a chore, but it's a chore to do some things, isn't it? So anyway, if you can come and help, we would appreciate it. And be up there about, that sounded real country, didn't it? Every once in a while I slip and speak real sophisticated. If you'll be there at 4, it'd be good. Upper. How you spell upper? Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, the first chapter. Had a lady in the church at Tuckerman that used to laugh at me and say, when Brother Lanny gets excited, he reverts to his native language. And so hillbilly is my native language if I revert to that now and then. Let's stand together. We're going to read the passage first, and then I want to do the introduction. So if you'll follow along with me in your translation as I read mine out loud, and you follow in yours. And there's some things that perhaps you would like to underline as we go along, because we're going to pay special attention to some of these things as we go back and look at what they mean and what they mean to us. Paul, a servant. Now, some of you have got a translation that'll translate that differently. Some of you have a translation that would translate it slave, and that is a good translation. But it's, and I'll tell you about that later, okay? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you know what gospel is? It's good news. The good news, and I think it's, if we can put this in here, it just makes it sound so much, it fits us a little better. The good news of God. That's good news, right? Which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. So you understand that when Paul was writing this to the Romans, they did not have the New Testament as we have it. So he's teaching Jesus out of the Old Testament concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. You see, the resurrection from the dead has everything to do with the gospel that is the truth. If you take the resurrection from the dead out of the gospel, there's no gospel. So that, if you remember from last Sunday, that's what we have to believe. By whom we have received grace, there's a good word, and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations. Right, Jennifer? Among all nations for his name. Among whom are you also the called of Jesus Christ. Now that, boy, that's a good statement. It's called out, but it's called to belong to. You've been called out to belong to somebody. You've been called out. You belong to Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you add your blessing. God, open our hearts. Lord, please help us today. Lord, open our spiritual eyes to the truth of your word. Lord, help us to grab hold of this today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In way of introduction, and I'm going to zoom through this if I can just to move right along, but I think that you need your feet on the ground. You need to know where we're coming from here. It's not just to isolate a few verses and say this is why we're doing this, but for you to understand where it comes from. The date and authorship of Romans, and we're convinced that Paul, of course, he's not the author in the way that you and I would think of the author. He's the pensman. But you have to understand it's the inspired word of God, that God inspired it. And so Paul is the pensman, but it is God that did the inspiring. So we call Paul the author of Romans, but if we got a little higher than that, we'd say it's God's word. And this is not true with all sources, but many sources believe that it was about 50 years after the resurrection of Christ. So the church's been around for a while, huh? 50 years after Christ's resurrection and his ascension, the church is spread out all over the world, and it's even spread to Rome. It's started in Jerusalem. If you'll remember, as we went through the book of Acts, started in Jerusalem, the power of the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and filled the believers. And then persecution struck. Stephen was martyred, was killed. And that spread the church throughout all the known world. So here we are 50 years later, and Paul is writing to Rome, and he's not got there yet, but he's on his way, if you'll remember from Acts, the end of Acts. So the purpose of the letter, he's answering questions that were on the hearts of the believers. And these same questions are questions that you and I have on our heart today. That believers, you see, the Bible is a book that is, it's modern and it's ancient. It fits every generation and it fits every need in our life. This Bible has the answer to every need in our life. How can a man come into the right relationship with God? If you'll remember in the third chapter of John, that's what Nicodemus was asking. How do I get to heaven? How do I have a right relationship with God? I'm going to really step out of my comfort zone tonight. We're going to talk about the knowing the will of God for your life. And we're going to have a worship service at 6. But then we're going to look at something else after the worship service. And I'm doing something that I don't know that I've ever done in my life tonight. And if you want to see what that is, you'll just have to be here. I do not like to use videos or CDs, recordings. I want everything to be live. I think that's what church ought to be about. I mean, if you want to watch a recording, you can turn your TV on and do that. Mike Dishroom texted me this morning and said he'd been watching David Jeremiah and Andy Stanley, and I said, well, that'll fill in, I guess, if you can't have the real thing. But it probably won't compare to what's going to take place at Osage this morning. But I've listened to a CD over the last 2 weeks, I think four times. And it is life-changing. And I'd like for you to be here tonight, and we're going to listen to this together. It's not part of my style. It's not the way I do church, but we're going to do it. Now, no, I'm not going to say that. But just be here tonight. I'm always fearful that somebody's going to bring me a CD and say, "Won't you do this on Sunday morning? It's a lot better than what we've been getting." And no doubt there is some of that out there. How can an individual achieve inner peace and experience moral victory? And for some folks, that's not even a question, but in our lives as Christians, when we're trying to follow Jesus, we're looking for moral victory in our lives. We're looking for inner peace. What is there to give meaning to life in the midst of suffering and to give certainty to faith in a world of evil? We're living right in, they were living in the midst of that. When I was looking at some of the things that introduced the book of Romans, it talked about that the Christians that were living in the Rome at that time, they were living in a filthy place. They were getting the drugs of society, and awful things were going on. And we're experiencing that in our own society. So how do you live a strong Christian life in the midst of all this that's going on? And how do you teach your children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord when that is taking place? In Romans, he gives us a vision of world missions. And it's at the heartbeat of the letter. Look with me over in the 10th chapter. We looked at the 10th chapter last week, but let's look at verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." I'm in the wrong. Why didn't somebody say something? You're so polite. My Bible's glued together in so many places, sometimes it opens in the wrong place. I got to give some kind of excuse. "For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him." The purple reach of purple, right? One thing that I want us to be able to do as we go through Romans is that I'd like some folks to give testimony in our morning service about how they found the truth. We sang that song this morning about my scars, uncovering our scars, and sometimes that's not something that we want to do. And if you feel like that God would lead you to give a testimony about how God's changed your life, well, you tell me about that, and I want to be able to use that in the morning service. Some of you feel like that you just could not do that. And some of you have a testimony that would absolutely, that there are some people that need to hear that it would change their life. And they see the power of God in all kinds of different places. And that the more I know about God, the less I know about him. And when I think that I have him figured out, I do not have him figured out. So I hope that you'll do that. Did I read other than verse 12? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You believe it? We talked about that already. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And you're the preacher." In the 16th chapter, he closes the letter with a vision of the gospel preach to all men. And in Romans 16, if I can get it open to that. Verse 26, coming to a close, he says, but now it's made manifest, and by the scripture of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, that everybody might know. I want us to look, first of all, at now we've got a little bit of introduction behind us, that his name was Paul. The name literally means little. If you'd look over in 2 Corinthians, his critics were talking about he's a little man, but he talks big. But then he had a name change. And why? Why would that be? Why would God change Paul's name from Saul to Paul? I mean, he didn't change the king's name, did he? But he changes Paul's name. I'll tell you, folks, that when we come to know Christ, we are known by a different name. You know, if you knew Paul as Saul, you wouldn't even like him. He's a murderer. I mean, he treated people. He is the worst case scenario of evil, with religion backing him. But then when he is saved, he is the best of all sources to spread the gospel. And he shares his testimony over and over and over. And when you read his letters and when you read Acts, you just find him telling his story over and over. That's what you and I have. That's our best. That's the best witness that we have, is our own witness of how we overcame. I've been listening to a song this week. An old gospel song. I love to tell the story. And one of the verses, I may get this wrong, one of the verses in that song says, he talks about who he loves to tell the story to. And he said, I love to tell the story to those who know it best. You remember it? You remember those lines? I love to tell the story to those who know it best. It seems hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. Isn't that a great line? I love to tell the story to those who know it best. Seems hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. In other words, when you know Jesus as your Savior and you hear the story of grace and how Jesus changed his lives, how that God sent his Son to die on the cross for our sin, and that he paid our sin debt. He was nailed to the cross, and he took, the songwriter said that he took all of our sin. Oh, my sin, all the bliss of this glorious state was nailed to the cross. Oh, listen to me, church. Not in part, but the whole. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And we hear that story, though we've heard it over and over, we hunger and thirst for that story of the gospel of Jesus Christ coming, living a sinless life, and facing all this temptation and all the sin and all the feelings that you and I have ever felt. And the Bible says, yet without sin. So we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And that literally means our weakness, that we can bring, church, we can bring our greatest weakness before the Lord. And there is no place for us to be able to say, well, Lord, you wouldn't understand. You don't understand the heartbreak of divorce. You don't understand the heartbreak of losing a child. You wouldn't understand what it's like to get to the bottom of ourselves and we can't figure out any way out. You wouldn't understand what it would be like to be addicted to a drug or to alcohol or to pornography or anything like that. Lord, you wouldn't understand those things. But the Bible says that we have a high priest, church, that we can get before, and he feels our infirmities. Though he did it without sin, he feels everything that we feel. That's the reason, dear church, that he can pick us up out of the horrible pit and he can set our feet on a rock and put a new song in our mouth. Woo! Praise to our God. And others will see it. They'll see the song in our life. And they'll repent. Oh man, if he can save old Lanny, he can save me. Right? Yeah. If he can make a difference in my life, in their life, he can make a difference in my life. Let's stand together. I'll get to this later. But I wish I could have preached 2 more hours today. But when Paul talks about being a servant, you need to do a little background on that. You need to find out in the Old Testament what that kind of servant was all about. Because that servant came to the end of his servanthood. And he was able to leave. He was able to make his own choice. Go out on his own. Year of Jubilee had come. Servant said, I love my master. I want to be a servant the rest of my life. I don't want to do it because I'm forced to do it. I want to do it because I love him. So they had a little deal that they did. Wasn't a little deal, it was a big deal. Take him over to the doorpost. Take all. Punch. That servant pull his ear around, put it up to the doorpost on this side. The master had taken all, put it in against his ear. Doc, I'm sure it's real sanitary. Put it up against his ear, and wham, he'd drive that all through his earlobe. Big enough to make a hole. And when anyone saw that servant, they knew he wasn't serving. Because he was forced to serve. He was serving because he loved his master. Paul said, I'm that kind of servant. I wish we could have got to that part. I'll preach that later. If you didn't get it. That's what he wants us to do. That's where he wants us at, church. He wants us to be able to walk over to the doorpost and say, Lord, here it is. All that I am, all that I have, I give to you. You know, I know there's so much about Christianity that we learn as we go along. But our first step is to make a decision to make Him Lord, to accept Him as our Savior. And I believe that we do that by making a volitional decision to say, Jesus, I invite you into my heart as Savior. Come into my heart and save me. Change my life. And if you've not done that today, that is what I'm asking you to do. Is to step out from where you're at and come to where I'm at. And by your coming, you just say, Brother Lenny, I want to be a Christian. I want to accept Christ today as my Savior. And that's your first step. That's what you do first. Some of you have already done that. Some of you have been scripturally baptized. Some of you may be being led to become a part of this fellowship, this church. But that's your first step. And your next step is to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Believer's baptism does not save you. It's an act of obedience that gives testimony to the world that you have been saved. And so your first step is to ask Jesus into your heart.